WYP and 1340 WMON, St. Albans, Charleston, Montgomery, The Jock. Fishing the waters of the wild and wonderful, the bluegrass and beyond. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker with Cam Connors on The Jock.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to the first episode with Hook, Line, and Sinker. Spring officially here. It's time to get fishing. I'm your host, Cam Connors, and for the inaugural episode, I decided to reach out to the West Virginia DNR. Today, we're going to talk about a big event coming up next week, the annual Gold Rush. Now, West Virginia built an amazing program with our own unique golden rainbow trout. I'm also going to talk today with Lee Adair from Squatch Rods LLC about some custom-made rods that you can find right here in Appalachia. And finally, a little later on today, I'm going to talk with Executive Head Chef Brian Skelding from the Greenbrier about the best ways to prepare that trout catch this spring. But first, I want to kick off today's show with a little bit of a fishing report. We're going to take a look at the water temps around the region. Both the Coal and Elk Rivers been bouncing between 49 and 54 degrees this week. It's had a little bit of variance. Over in Kentucky, our neighbors to the west, Little Sandy River in Carter County, it's been trending on the cooler side most of the week. It's been averaging right around that 49 to 50 degree mark. And the Mighty Ohio River in Ironton, currently hovering at that 50 degree mark as well, but it's been trending upward this past week, so keep that in mind. Take a look at the weather for the weekend. Today in the Kanawha Valley, we're looking at a high of 80, but we're going to have overcast skies throughout much of the day, which could make for some good fishing conditions. However, those southwest winds going to be hovering between 5 and 10 miles per hour, with rain moving in tonight after midnight. Going to be looking at a low this evening around 60. Rain, of course, tomorrow morning could develop into thunderstorms with a possibility of strong storms for parts of the region. A little cooler today, or tomorrow rather, with a high of 75 and a little windier as well, expecting winds to be between 10 and 15 miles per hour. Coming up, we're going to talk with Jim Hedrick from the West Virginia Department of Natural Resources about the upcoming Gold Rush. So stick around. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock.
Last season was historic.
Randy Mazey's Mountaineers are regional champions, and they head to a super regional for the first time in program history.
And now, a new era begins in Morgantown.
I'm beyond grateful to be the head coach of West Virginia baseball. Coach Mazey took a risk on me. I came here and worked every day to try to prove him right.
Tune in starting Friday, March 14th, on your home for Mountaineer baseball.
1300 and 1340 AM, 98.3 and 105.5 FM. The Jock.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can access a full range of treatment options for ED through a 100% online process. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. HIMS.com/JOY.
When I grow up, I want to be a doctor.
I want to be a veterinarian.
When I grow up, I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a scientist so I can connect, like, other things and build other things.
I want to be an astronaut so I can float up space.
When I grow up, I want to be a dancer.
I want to be a superhero. But if that doesn't work out, I will be an engineer.
When I grow up, I want to be a chef because I like ice cream.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be a jet pilot so I can take people to really fun places.
I want to be a drug addict.
Get to your kids before drugs do. Arm yourself with the facts. Get your free The Truth About Drugs booklet set today. Go to drugfreeworld.org.
Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition.
Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Are you about to mow the lawn? It's blazing hot out here. Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry. It's all on SmokeyBear.com because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Fish on. Now back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock.
And welcome back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on the Jock. I'm your host, Cam Connors, and this weekend, much of the state gearing up, getting ready for one of West Virginia's premier fishing events of the year, the annual Gold Rush, fixing to kick off. On the phone with me today, Jim Hedrick with the West Virginia Division of Natural Resources. Jim, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Cam.
I wanted to say, first off, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today and talk a little bit about what's happening in the state. Of course, the Gold Rush fixing to kick off. Let's talk about, before we get into the Gold Rush, let's talk about what the golden trout is, because it's not the same as the golden trout that you're going to find out west. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The golden trout out west is a different species, where the West Virginia golden trout is literally just a color phase of a rainbow trout. That's why the appropriate name for it is a golden rainbow trout.
Exactly. So it's a mutated strain. I remember reading somewhere, it was way back at one of the fisheries, they happened to catch it and just had the forethought to capitalize on it and managed to build it into the program that we have today.
Yeah, correct. It all started from one fish back in the late 50s, and the hatchery staff noticed a fish that had some gold speckling on it, and they just saved that fish. It happened to be a female, and when they reproduced it, they only had a regular rainbow trout to cross it with. And lo and behold, in the long run, several hundred of those fish come out all gold, and they just continued to reproduce generations until now when we cross a male with a female golden trout, every single fish comes out golden. And
wow.
It may not have worked. It could have been another fish with a different genetic makeup.
Wow. So it really has turned into something. And of course, anglers from all over the state and even, you know, other parts of the country really look forward to this every year.
Yeah, that's correct. Several states now have golden rainbow trout. A lot of them come from the West Virginia strain. There has been some universities that have developed their own strains. But by far, the most common one is the West Virginia strain of golden trout. And yeah, there's states across the country that don't stock them. A lot of their residents do come and visit West Virginia or other states that do stock golden trout just for an opportunity to catch one of these very unique fish.
Awesome. And so this is probably going to be a dumb question, but from a taste perspective, the rainbow trout tastes exactly, the golden rainbow tastes exactly as the rainbow. Is that right?
In theory, that should be true. I think it depends on who you ask. Some people would say that's not true, but you know, based on species, that should be exactly the truth. Yeah, that should be accurate.
Okay. Yep. Well, so let's dive into the Gold Rush. Of course, the state, you know, holds this every year. It's become quite an event. So what exactly is it?
So this is our eighth annual Gold Rush. So it's been going on for a while. And the Gold Rush is nothing more than a regular scheduled stocking at a regular stocking location. The only thing that actually changes is the color of the fish.
That's right. And, of course, you all stock at the golden at a different time than the regular rainbow.
Normally, throughout the year, we normally stock the golden rainbow mixed in. Usually 5 to 10% of what we stock oftentimes is golden trout, which is not a lot, and that's why one of the reasons why we started the Gold Rush, to give people a better opportunity to catch a golden rainbow trout if they choose to do so.
Oh, awesome. See, I've yet to catch one. I tried for the first time last year, last season, and was not successful, so I'm really hopeful that I'm going to get one this year. And, of course, you all release them at several lakes and streams across the state. How many exactly?
Yeah, so this year, where the Gold Rush includes 69 different waters over 48 of those are lakes, and the reason for that is because we want to especially give kids and families the opportunity to go out and make a family fishing event. That was the real purpose of part of the purpose of the Gold Rush in the beginning, was not only to give, you know, all anglers an opportunity to catch a golden trout, but a family fishing event. And a lot of these are directed at lakes, and our state parks is involved with a lot of the Gold Rush waters. The state parks are great places to take families because they do have accommodations, they have restrooms, oftentimes they have playgrounds. If the younger siblings, you know, get tired of fishing, they have something else to do. So it's a great family event as well.
Oh, absolutely. So let's dive into it just a little more. How many fish, how many of the golden rainbows get released each year, and what are the size typically of them?
Yeah, so typically it runs around 50,000 of them for the two-week period in those 69 waters. The size of them, we try to have them, are, you know, our kind of our standard size trout is somewhere in the neighborhood of 3/4 of a pound, you know, 11 to 12 inches. Anytime we stock, or anytime you raise animals, there will be, and then there will be some that will be smaller. So in that, there's going to be some bigger ones. And then there may be some, you know, for lack of better words, runts in there as well that just have not grown and have not performed. If people catch a small fish and they choose not to keep it, you can always throw that back and give someone else the opportunity.
And so with the rainbow and the golden rainbow and the gold rush, you all have put together, like you said, this is the eighth year, and you all have started doing this thing where you're tagging fish and offering out prizes.
Yeah, that's correct. We done that from the origination of the Gold Rush, the very first year. There are a select number of those fish that are tagged, and if anglers are lucky enough to catch one of those fish, you can submit it online at wvgoldrush.com and actually, you know, enter in for some of the grand prizes, which includes, you know, stays at parks and different things like that, and even lifetime fishing license sometimes. And then, of course, everybody who turns in a tag will get, you know, some kind of prize, even if it's not one of the grand prizes.
All right. That sounds fantastic. So, of course, with the Gold Rush, we do want to reiterate as well that, you know, your typical fishing regulations still come into play. You still got to have a fishing license and such.
That's correct. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, this is not any free fishing event. You're still required to have license, like you always, like you would fishing for anything else. You are required to have a trout stamp in order to fish for trout. The great thing is with it directed at kids and families, obviously those under the age of 15, 14 and younger are not required to have a license at all. So they can fish for free.
Right. So it really is a great experience for the family.
Yeah, it can be a great experience for the family, and like I say, especially at those places that are state parks that have other things to do as well. Especially if you have, you know, several siblings, you know, of a variety of ages.
Absolutely, and so just a couple more questions I got for you. Where can folks get more info on the Gold Rush?
So if you go to the DNR website, which is wvdnr.gov. The Gold Rush link is right now on that homepage. And that is a great place to get the information. You can also go to, there's another wvgoldrush.com, I think will take you to the same place eventually. But anyway, all the details are on there. You know, how you can prepare, where you can go, the schedules on there, which waters will be stocked, each week. So you will know there is a list of the prizes on there. There's a link on there about where you turn in your tag number if you are fortunate enough to catch one of those tag fish.
All right. And one last question. I should have asked this a bit ago, but I didn't think about it till just now. So if, let's say I'm out there and I'm wanting to really target the golden rainbow, is there anything I can do as far as like rig-wise, bait-wise, that's going to give me an advantage to target that particular fish?
Yeah, I think that if there is any trick at all to golden trout, oftentimes it is making sure that you're using a very small bait. Some people use hooks that are a little bit too big with too much bait on that hook. And golden trout are really sensitive to seeing hooks and line and too large a bait. So anything, the smaller bait and the smaller hook you can use will increase your chances with golden trout. Now, obviously, you know, the fish feeding patterns have been a mystery for years. No one knows the secret to making fish bite every time.
Right.
So if they are not in the mood to bite and they are not feeding, you may have to pick a different day. There's no way around that. But if you're going to increase your chances at all, that would be the way to do it, is with that smaller bait.
Smaller bait. That's some excellent advice. I also read somewhere, I believe on the DNR website, that they get bait shy relatively quickly. So if it's a heavily fished area, you know, look for a bait that others may not be using.
Yeah, that's correct. The other thing about golden trout that seems to affect them is the fact that they are very visible. I think they know that as well. And when people see golden trout and they target them and are throwing a lot of different baits trying to catch those golden trout, they oftentimes become spooked. And if a fish becomes spooked, he no longer is in the mode of feeding. So they also get a lot of attention. So a lot of times they're pretty scared. So you got to kind of sneak up on them and fish for one that no one has been throwing some big bait towards for a while.
Gotcha. Well, Jim, thank you so much for taking the time and joining me today. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to pass along for folks?
Just to encourage people to put something on their calendars. And I think the important thing to remember is, you know, with golden trout, especially when we put them in lakes where people can see them so readily and target them, they last quite a long time in lakes, and people can catch golden trout for weeks following the gold rush stocking. So if you're not available to go, you know, during the next couple weeks of the actual gold rush time period, definitely don't give it up, you know, or schedule other times to go out and fish and, you know, enjoy family and be together and, you know, really enjoy a fishing event. And you still have a great opportunity to catch a golden trout even long after the gold rush.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us, being on the show today. I'm sure we'll talk again real soon.
Sure. Great to speak with you.
Coming up, it's all about trout. I've got some tips and techniques. Plus, we'll talk about tackle and some recipes on the way next. It's Hook, Line, and Sinker on 1300 and 105.5 for John.
Bring spring to your door with Target Circle 360. Get all you need for Easter hosting, spring get-togethers, and more with unlimited same-day delivery through Target Circle 360. From Easter basket goodies to fresh florals, getting everything the same day is easy. Open the Target app and bring the magic of the season to your door with unlimited same-day delivery through Target Circle 360. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Subscription required. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone in your community or just taking a deep, calming breath when you need it. Nice. For mental health resources, check out loveyourmindtoday.org. At loveyourmindtoday.org, you'll find information that may help you get through a tough time. Things like tips for dealing with stress, how to navigate difficulties like financial worries, anger, substance use, and more. You can also find real stories of how people navigated their own mental health challenges. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking.
But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a doctor.
I want to be a veterinarian.
When I grow up, I want to be a fireman.
I want to be a scientist so I can connect like other things and build other things.
I want to be an astronaut so I can float up space.
When I grow up, I want to be a dancer.
I want to be a superhero, but if that doesn't work out, I will be an engineer.
When I grow up, I want to be a chef because I like ice cream.
I want to be a basketball player.
I want to be a jet pilot so I can take people to really fun places.
I want to be a drug addict.
Get to your kids before drugs do. Arm yourself with the facts. Get your free The Truth About Drugs booklet set today. Go to drugfreeworld.org.
Reels are screaming. Lines are tight. We're back for Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock.
Welcome back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock. I'm your host, Cam Connors. And once again, I got to give a big thanks to Jim Hedrick with the West Virginia DNR joining us a little bit ago. Been talking about the annual Gold Rush coming up April 1st through the 12th. Over 50,000 of the state's signature golden rainbow trout going to be hitting 69 different lakes and streams across the state. I said it before talking with Jim, I'm really looking forward to it this year. I tried last year, I just was not able to catch one. It was my first time, my first year trying with the gold rush, and I'm determined to get one this year. And as you may know, trout, of course, can be a finicky fish. As far as what they're biting on today may not be what they're biting on tomorrow. And, you know, so much comes into play when it comes to trout. Water temperature will determine, of course, their depth. Clarity, water clarity, going to determine what kind of baits are going to work better. Barometric pressure, cloud cover. There is a whole slew of factors that can really go into choosing what bait you're going to use and where you're going to fish. So what can we do? The question is, what can we do to help ensure that we land some of those golden rainbows? Well, first off, you know, you got to look at your time of day. DNR says that you're going to get best results early in the morning or late in the evening, which is pretty indicative of trout to begin with. In fact, I call it a blanket statement, really, when it comes to fishing. I always have better luck at those times, especially early in the morning, no matter what I'm fishing for. Of course, next you're going to account for weather. My favorite weather for trout, dreary days. You know, a bit of an overcast skies just seems to be the days when I can haul them in hand over fist. And, of course, you know, that cloud cover, it's going to keep those upper layers of water more cool. Trout do prefer the cold water, after all. And then, you know, really, I like a light rain. Really helpful. It adds oxygen to the water, helps keep the water cool, but it also helps break up that surface tension of the water. You know, trout, they're very observant about what's happening above them. Of course, they're always looking for mayflies and such on the surface. So, yeah, they can see you if you get too close, and a little bit of rain really helps to break up that surface tension, and it's going to obscure their vision. It really comes in handy. Of course, you don't want to forget to check the barometric pressure as well. I mentioned it a second ago. As with most fishing, barometric pressure, high pressure, is going to kill off the bite. But if you notice a sudden drop in pressure, that could be a strong indicator that a storm could be moving in, and it will likely trigger some activity, so it's something to keep an eye on. Next up, of course, location. If you're fishing on a stream, you're going to want to stick to places with some good moving water. You don't want any placid lulls, or at least not too many of them. Trout do tend to prefer that fast-moving water. More prey, more oxygen in the water, just a better environment for the trout altogether. Now moving on, you want to look at bait. And as I've said throughout my whole fishing career, bait can be one of the things that is the toughest factors. Because when it comes to trout, in my opinion, we do have some clues on what will work, but to be honest with you, sometimes it's a bit of a crapshoot, for lack of a better way of putting it. It could come down to a number of factors, including just what the fish is in the mood for. You'll want to think about your water temperature, your clarity. You know, if it's a warm day, you're going to have better luck running on a deeper bait. You're going to want to run it down much deeper. I've had some really good luck putting like a floating power bait on a drop shot line and just set it on the bottom. And you know, I've also seen folks do it with mini marshmallows and corn. The mini marshmallows one was the one that really kind of surprised me the most. But yeah, just put that sinker on the end of your line, run a leader with a treble hook off of the main line about a foot to 18 inches above the sinker, cast it out, and just wait. Now, of course, you could do this with a slip bobber if you like, but I really prefer to just run it almost as if I were fishing for catfish. You know, just pull the line tight and watch the tip of your rod, or, you know, if you're like me and easily distracted, put a bell on the tip of your rod. So that's, you know, for warm water. What about cold water? You're going to want to fish up top. Now, the fish are going to be up closer to the top instead of down at the bottom, and then you got a few more options. You can run a traditional snell hook, bobber setup, bit of power bait, corn, even some live baits. You can do a cast and retrieve with rooster tails and other spinning baits. But my favorite is live minnows. Trout, highly predatory, and under the right conditions, live bait can absolutely bring them to life. I've had excellent luck at Greenbow Lake doing that. Some of the best fishing I've ever done, live minnows on a number 6 snell hook. Just run it about 2.5 feet under a bobber, and I've pulled them in hand over fist. As we talked with Jim Hedrick a little bit ago, some advice from the DNR, particularly for the golden rainbows. They say they get bait shy pretty quick. We talked about it with Jim, especially if there's a lot of folks out fishing. They suggest, you know, mixing up your baits and angling with something that no one else is using. Jim also suggested that if you're targeting specifically the golden rainbows, you might want to opt for a smaller hook and a smaller bait. It's just some thoughts to keep in mind before you head out to the lake or stream. Now it's time for some Tackle Talk. It's a segment where I like to feature some of Appalachia's best tackle and gear producers. Today, I'm talking with Lee Adair, a.k.a. Squatch, from Squatch Rods LLC in Ashland, Kentucky. Lee, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show today. My wife actually turned me on to Squatch Rods and to get in touch with you. And you run the business, is that right?
I do, man. I do everything myself.
All right, so tell me a little bit about what Squatch Rods is.
All right, so Squatch Rods is a small company here in Ashland, Kentucky. We specialize in custom fishing rods and custom tackle. We build high-quality rods for folks who take their fishing serious, whether it's you're fishing for catfish, crappie, bass, striper, even saltwater, you name it, we build it.
Awesome. So how did you get into this business? You know, what made you, inspired you to get into it, and how did you learn how to do it?
So honestly, it started out as pure curiosity. I've always loved fishing, and I've always been very hands-on, kind of like a do-it-yourself type person. One day I just started learning, watching everything I could, YouTube, internet. I thought it was awesome. I started building in our spare bedroom. Next thing you know, I'm obsessed with it. I'm going to shows. I'm networking, going to expositions where I'm meeting people, learning about the trade, and I got consumed in it.
And so how long have you been running Squatch Rods now?
We're going on 3 years now.
That's awesome. So I got to ask, and I'm sure you've heard this before, why Squatch?
Well, that's kind of a funny one there. So, you know, growing up in Eastern Kentucky, you get your fair share of, Squatch jokes and
yeah.
stories.
Yeah, that's right.
You've definitely heard two or three. So something right there just struck me. Not to mention, I am 6'7", about 300 pounds. So Squatch was kind of a nickname, too, growing up.
Right.
when I started making these rods, it just felt like that was something, that was the name, you know, something that was rugged, it was kind of me, and super strong, too. So that's kind of how that fell in place.
And you know what? It's a fantastic name. It's a very popular theme these days, so I think that was a good call.
Yeah, it's made the fit, I'll say that.
You know, talking about your products and the rods you produce, if someone were looking to get a custom rod made, walk me through the process. Talk to me about the options, you know, what kind of rods, what kind of options you have as far as customizing them. Let's just dive into it.
Okay. I'll try to make this as simple as I can. When you're talking about custom rods, I mean, the market's huge. Anything from, like I said in the beginning, you know, bass rods to catfish rods, striper rods, whatever you fish for, we can build it. Basically, right now, we're online-based. So Facebook, we're all over Facebook. I run social media myself personally, and you can reach out to me on social media, give me a message. We basically walk you through. First thing we go over is what you're fishing for, kind of what you want, what you're wanting to achieve in a rod. We mainly specialize in catfish, but we build anything. We do have our OEM in-house blanks. They're the Squatch Sticks and the Whisker Flippers. Those are surf rods. A lot of our locals and people on the coast, they like the surf rods. And we also have, we've got blanks anywhere from Atrix to Rain Shadow, which are highly sought after production rods that people are familiar with. Basically, you know, from grips to the reel seat, thread collars, you customize it all. We have options we can send over, you know, you can pick your collar or grip, your style of guides, your thread collars. We do design, you name it, we can put it on a rod. So it's really up to the person that wants to get the rod built, you know, that would determine what we do there.
Absolutely. And of course, you talked about Facebook. I've seen a lot of the work that you guys that you do there on your Facebook group and on the Facebook page, and I've even seen, you know, I think on your website you have got some absolutely killer looking glow in the dark cat rods.
Yes, I appreciate that. Yes, we do. The Bounty Hunters, I forgot to mention. Yes, they're a 7.6 medium heavy catfish rod, and they're super, super tough.
I'm probably going to have to hit you up for a catfish rod at some point or another. But here's an out of the box question. Have you ever done a fly fishing rod?
I have. I've actually done one, and it's actually in my shop right now, for a good friend of mine over at Rebel River Outfitters. His name's Ken Akers, actually. Little information about him real quick, if you don't mind. He's a good friend of mine, and he actually, when I was building rods and decided to do the tackle side of things, you know, he gave me my first shot in an actual retail store, so big thanks to him. But I'm actually building him one right now.
That's pretty cool. So, again, talking about if somebody were to contact you to get a custom rod produced, what's your pricing like on this? And obviously, it's going to vary from option to option.
Yeah, so pricing, that's probably one of the hardest parts of my job, because, you know, there's, like I was saying earlier, there's so much you can do to a rod, it would blow your mind. I would say, you know, if I was gonna just throw some numbers out there, custom catfish rods, they start out around $275, and I've built rods that go all the way up to, you know, $500 and $600.
Okay,
depending on what you want, yes, sir.
So I mean that honestly to me is pretty reasonable, especially whenever you're talking about a custom made rod. I mean, it's nothing to go to places like Cabela's or Bass Pro or even a local bait shop and find some rods that are not custom that are going to run you, upwards of $175,
$250. Right, right.
Continuing on with that hypothetical order process, once an order is placed, you know, how quickly does it take you to get a rod made and then shipped out? What's the turnaround time looking like?
So the turnaround times are really good, actually. Typically, from start to finish, you're looking at a Monday-to-Monday basis. So if we get started this Monday, it's going to be ready within a week. And that's pretty much any rod, depending on what you want exactly. Sometimes we do get a little backed up from orders. You know, we have what we call the books here at Squatch Rods, and we put people down first come, first serve. you're interested in getting a custom rod build and we're backed up, you know, we just require a deposit. You put down, kind of hold your place until we get caught up in the queue, and then we run it, you know. And like right now, this is what I consider peak season. So right now, you know, we're booked out about a month. But as the season slows down and people get their rods in and out, we get, you know, it gets caught up. We go a lot faster.
So if somebody, so this is the peak season. So let's say, you know, leading up to Christmas, maybe it's around, you know, in November, that's going to be your slower time. But if somebody wanted to get like a gift, that would be an excellent time to reach out to you.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I tell people too, you know, on our social media groups and stuff. Like when we go into quote unquote off season, which is anywhere from, let's say, I would November to February, is a great time to get a rod in and out. Christmas time, especially. We do have, you know, customers that come to us for Christmas gifts, but surprisingly, our busiest time is right now. So,
well, that honestly doesn't surprise me all that much, because right now is, it's the beginning of the fishing season. You know, you got the trout releases, a lot of lakes and streams right now. In fact, that's one of the things I talked about a little earlier in the show today. Over in West Virginia, here where we are, the golden rainbow trout are fixing to be released. It's a huge event every year. They call it the Gold Rush over here in West Virginia.
Yeah. Yep, I'm familiar.
So going back to your rods, and like I said, I saw those glow-in-the-dark cat rods. I saw some really cool ones on the Facebook group. What is your favorite, most interesting rod that you've made? Describe a little bit about it. You know, what, how long was it? What kind was it? Details in it.
Well, let's see. I've booked a lot that I really, really like. I get kind of attached to all of them.
Well, to be honest, I can understand that. I mean, it's something that you put your heart and soul into, and by the end of it, you know, you're very proud of it, which is the sign of great craftsmanship.
Yes, thank you. It's definitely a blessing. I would say favorite build, the ones probably that stick with me the most are probably going to be a memorial rod. So, you know, when someone comes to me and they're like, hey, man, I lost my dad. We used to fish together, and they want a rod built in their memory. That just hits different, you know. Sometimes they ask me, you know, to put a photo of their loved one on the rod. In which that part always gives me chills. But just being able to take their story, their favorite callers, maybe even like a name or a phrase, and just build it into something they can fish with. It feels like you're giving them something they can't just buy, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a custom piece of work that is exactly to their specs, and it's a piece of you put into it at the same time. So it's a very very cool, very wonderful thing that you're able to do.
Yes. Yeah, it's a tribute, you know. They can carry with them every time they go to the water, and that's probably one of my most favorite things about my job that kind of reminds me why I'm here and kind of keeps me going. It's definitely memorial rods and rods, so to speak, like that.
I got you. So a little earlier in the interview, I was asking you about how you got your start. You said that you got the start because, well, you love fishing. So I can't let you off the phone without asking, what's your favorite thing to fish for, and where's your favorite place to fish? Because I live over in that area, and so I fish Greenbow all the time. So I got to know, what's your favorite thing to fish, and where's your favorite place to go?
All right, so that's a very broad question for me.
Of course,
and I
it
say
is.
That because I just love to fish. If you put a half acre pond in front of me right now, I'd be fishing in it.
You know, so I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's funny you say because you know, Jess, my wife.
Yeah.
We were talking just the other day, and she had randomly talked about spelunking, you know, people that like to go cave exploring, and she was wondering if, like, people got just an urge when they saw a cave to go explore it. And I said, you know, yeah, I bet they do, because if I see a pond or a creek or a stream, I want to go put a rod, I want to go put a line in it.
Oh, most definitely. That's me, too.
But I'll let you get back with your answer there. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's a good point, because that's factual. Every time I see a waterway, I'm dying to go fish it. So I can agree with that. What I was saying, I grew up fishing, the Ohio River, of course, here, in Ashland, and, or the tri-state area, should I say. We're local to the Ohio River.
Right.
So that's an easy place to go fish. Kind of taught me a lot, getting started. As I got older, and got my license, of course, and got a little freedom behind my belt, I started traveling places and fishing. I'd say my number one favorite place to fish is the Tennessee River. And I love the Tennessee River because it doesn't matter what you're fishing for, you're going to catch something. I don't think I've ever left that place and not caught a fish. I grew up a lot down in Mississippi with my uncle and aunt. And cousins that I got some family down there, and they're probably about 45 minutes from a place called Pickwick Dam, which is the Tennessee River. And I grew up fishing for striped bass down there. And that was probably, like, when I think about one of my favorite places to fish, I'd have to say Pickwick Dam's going to take the cake.
See, it's funny you say that because, so growing up, I got family down in Texarkana, Texas, and there's a lake just south of Texarkana, Lake Wright Patman, and my aunt used to run one of the campgrounds there just below the dam. And I can remember fishing for striped bass off of that dam in the rapids coming there off the dam, and that was some of the best memories, you know.
Yep, that's me. My uncle, he'd give me at the time we were using those ugly sticks, and he'd give me an ugly stick, put a 6,000 Abu Garcia 6,000 on that thing, and we'd hook a shad on there and sling it out, and we'd just bounce them shad in and out of them rocks and them turbines, man. Them striped bass would come out there and absolutely hammer it, and it's just, that's something that's hard to forget. That's fun fishing.
Oh, absolutely. See, that's one of the things I've always said, man. When it comes to making memories, fishing has got to be one of the best activities. Your kids don't remember their first time playing a video game. They remember the first fish they catch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's great. I think it's great for anybody. It really is. Like, for me personally, fishing is everything, you know, especially in the world we live in today. Just to be able to go out there on the water and kick back and make memories, it's just a different feeling. I don't know how to explain it until you try it.
Absolutely. Well, getting back to Squatch Rods, if folks are interested in contacting you about a custom rod, where can they go?
So the best place to go to contact me would be Facebook. Facebook would be the number one place. Our Squatch Rods LLC page on Facebook. You can, it actually gives you the option to message me personally, and that would be the number one place to get in touch with me. Secondly, if you go on any web browser and you type in www.squatchrodsllc.com, that will pull up my website, and there's actually an email on there that you can contact me from, and there's actually there's a messaging board on the website where you can basically type in and get a quote. And half the time, if someone leaves their number, you know, I'll reach out, give you a phone call, make it real simple, and we can just go from there.
Well, sounds awesome, man. Lee, thanks for taking the time to be on the show today.
Yeah, buddy, I appreciate you. And before I go, could I give a thanks to some people?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so, man, I want to thank everyone who supported us, you know, from customers to people who just believe in what we're doing. You know, these people make it possible. My wife and my children, they're my biggest motivators, you know, and they're the reason that I keep pushing forward even when things get tough. I'm grateful for the close friend, you know, who stood by me along the way. And most of all, I want to give thanks to God for, you know, guiding me every step of this journey. Thank you to this station for letting me share my story and tell you a little bit about my company. It really does mean a lot. Don't ever give up on your dreams. Keep God first, you know, stay true to who you are, and He'll open the right doors. So tight lines, my man.
Amen. I appreciate you taking the time, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, buddy.
Once again, a big thanks to Lee with Squatch Rods LLC for joining us today. If you or someone you know is a producer of fine Appalachian tackle and gear, drop us a line and let us know. We'd love to have them on the show as well. Coming up, we're going to be talking more trout, but with recipes. And I'll be chatting with Brian Skelding, the executive chef from the Greenbrier, about ways to prepare that prized trout catch this spring. Stick around. More to come on Hook, Line, and Sinker on 105.5 and 1300 The Job.
In the tapestry of life, we encounter stories of legacy and accomplishment, but sometimes also abuse, neglect, or financial exploitation. Adult Protective Services understands the importance of safeguarding the well-being of our loved ones, our neighbors, and our community. To report neglect or abuse, call 800-352-6513. Sponsored by the Administration for Community Living, West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources, Bureau for Social Services, the West Virginia Broadcasters Association, and this station. This project was supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $383,493, with 75% funded by ACL HHS, and 25% in the amount of $85,236 funded by state government sources. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach
out. Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
From the local 2U studio, connecting West Virginia, this is the Valley Sports Station, 105.5 and 98.3 FM, 1300 and 1340 AM, The Jock.
When your car is making a strange noise, no matter what it is, you can't just pretend it's not happening.
That's an interesting sound.
It's like your mental health. If you're struggling and feeling overwhelmed, it's important to do something about it. It can be as simple as talking to someone in your community or just taking a deep, calming breath when you need it. Nice. For mental health resources, check out loveyourmindtoday.org. At loveyourmindtoday.org, you'll find information that may help you get through a tough time. Things like tips for dealing with stress, how to navigate difficulties like financial worries, anger, substance use, and more. You can also find real stories of how people navigated their own mental health challenges. Because once you start to address the problem, you can go so much further. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
They said
if I got drunk,
if I did coke,
I'd be one of the guys.
They said meth would help me get through my exams.
They said synthetic drugs would give me a safe high.
He said he'd love me forever if I smoked crack with him.
They lied.
Find out the truth about drugs.
Drugfreeworld.org.
Fishtails, we've got them. Now back to Hook, Line, and Sinker on The Jock.
And we're back with the final segment of today's show. We've been talking about trout today, the annual gold rush about to kick off in the Mountain State. With it, thousands of trout around the state soon going to be headed for the dinner table. On the phone with me now, Executive Chef Brian Skelding from the Greenbrier to talk about preparing that rainbow trout catch this season. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the air.
I appreciate you taking the time out of your very busy schedule to be on the air. I imagine being the executive chef there at the Greenbrier, you must be you must have a very full plate.
I stay pretty busy. Yes, sir.
So today we are talking about trout. Tell me about cooking trout. It is a very delicate fish to cook with. Is that right?
It is, you know, and it's one thing where for us here at the Greenbrier, especially in, you know, a hot preparation, we do like to get some caramelization on the flesh side of the fish. In doing so, I do feel it's important to, like, for example, we have the Sportsman, which is our breakfast, one of our breakfast entrees here that we've had on, honestly, longer than I've been here, and it comes with scrambled eggs, some applewood smoked bacon, some potatoes, and also a nice side of our trout. So what we do is we like to have a nice hot pan of clarified butter, which is sometimes, you know, it's expensive. It, you know, if you can't just use melted butter, but clarified butter will have a higher smoke point, thus allowing for a little bit better caramelization. And then we season the trout with a little bit of salt and pepper, dredge it in some flour just quickly. You don't want to get a ton of it on there because you're not trying to create like a batter or anything like that. And then we go skin side up right into the clarified butter, almost shallow fry it,
yeah,
if you would, and really almost let it cook all the way just on the flesh side, just so it gets that nice, what we refer to as GBD, golden brown delicious, and then just flip it over for a second, and then just cooking that skin and doing a little base with the butter and then taking it out, and then it's easy, once it's cooked all the way through like that, without overcooking it, obviously, it's easy to turn it back over, remove the skin off of it, and then there's really no waste. That is one thing that is nice about trout and salmon and things like that, is that you can cook it with the skin on as long as it's clean, and then once it's cooked all the way through, it's very easy to remove it, so you don't have to really worry about butchering it and, you know, losing some of that flesh if for someone who maybe isn't used to, you know, flaying fish that often.
Absolutely, and of course, like we said, where it is so delicate and the skin does tend to come off pretty easy. Do you have any tips on like what kind of pan, like maybe a ceramic pan, or what would be the best kind of pan to for a nonstick experience on that?
You know, we use a lot of Teflon skillets for breakfast, especially because of scrambled eggs. My go-to, like at my house personally, is I use cast iron for just about anything, whether it be Le Creuset or just like your standard like Lodge. As long as you keep those seasoned, I just find the evenness of the heat distribution on those is perfect. But also too, we have been known to use just a nice stainless steel pan,
mm-hmm.
Almost like we call it really a saute pan, but it's not going to be a fry pan with a short side on it. It's going to be more of a saute pan where it goes up a little bit higher because honestly, that's a little bit safer when you have a little bit more clarified butter in there when you're almost doing kind of a shallow fry, as opposed to maybe just sauteing, you know, some vegetables or something like that.
Absolutely. So that's of course a good breakfast item. Tell me about like a good quick and easy dinner that you could do with trout. You said that you know, you did the light seasoning, the salt, pepper, the light mm-hmm. flour. Is there anything else that you could do?
You know, one thing that we've been doing here, another great kind of classical Greenbrier trout dish, is referred to as the corn crusted brook trout, and we've been doing that up at Cates Mountain in Howard's Creek, different banquet events, because it's a pretty Appalachian, it's a very kind of classic Greenbrier dish, and we use what's called Russian corn, and it's essentially almost like it's dried kernels of corn, and what we do is we just pulse them in a food processor. So it's essentially like extremely coarse polenta, or grits, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we just mix a little bit of Juliana sun-dried tomato in it and a little bit of cilantro, and then we just take the trout, because it kind of already has, you know, trout has a tendency to be a little bit sticky. It's just natural.
Right, from, like a natural coating,
you know,
yeah.
It is, yeah. So we just kind of just roll it flesh side into that corn crust, and then we just kind of shallow fry it again a little bit, and that ends up creating the crust kind of opposite as to what the flour would do for like our breakfast service. That's super easy to do. It's very classic. One thing that we are doing for we opened up Sam Snead at the golf club this season on April 3rd, and one thing we're doing is we're actually taking some lemon confit that we cooked down in like some simple syrup and some herbs sliced thin, and then some fresh herbs in between two trout, and then we'd put it flesh to flesh, so that's going to be on the inside,
yeah,
and still the skin side out, and then we have these little kind of like canned grills, if you would, where they kind of compress it, with the wire mesh on the outside,
mm-hmm.
and we just grill that lightly. And then, honestly, then the protein of that trout really forces it to stick together. So one portion is going to be essentially a whole trout, but boneless. It won't have the head. It won't have the tail. We will serve that one with the skin on it. That's just how we perform, you know, have decided to serve that one.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if a guest wants us to kind of peel the skin off, we can easily do that. But it looks nice. It looks kind of rustic. It fits that Appalachian feel down at Sam Sneed's. So those are the first two things that come to mind anyways.
Well, those sound fantastic. So I did want to ask a couple questions. So other than salt, pepper, what are some good generalized herbs or seasonings that would go with trout? Because you don't want anything that's going to overpower too much, because it would be easy to overpower the flavor.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, two things that we go to here sometimes, not so much, but we call it the fat man spice, and that's the Paul Prudhomme, like the black and redfish magic spice. That's a good one, as long as you don't go too heavy on that. That would overpower, you know, the trout also not being as well as being mild. It's also a very thin fish.
Right.
So that can be overpowering if you're trying to blacken it. You can do it. We've done it. The other one, honestly, is Old Bay. I mean, Old Bay is such a great spice blend.
It's a fantastic, just all around. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, chicken, trout. I mean, you can almost put that on just about anything.
Just about,
and a little
yeah.
bit of lemon juice, and yeah, you're good to go there. So
absolutely.
Those are the first two things come to mind. Other than that, I'm kind of a, I don't want to say purist, but, you know, to me, lemon, butter, fresh herbs, salt, pepper, you know, fresh fish, it doesn't really get much better than that. But
I mean,
those
are
the two.
I agree.
Sorry,
I mean,
go ahead.
I agree. You know, it's kind of like almost like a steak. You know, you don't want to add too much to it, because a good steak will speak for itself, and a good trout will too.
Just enhance it. You know, that's all you're trying to do. The cow did most of the work. In this case, the fish did most of the work. Now you're just trying to, you know, cook it to perfection and just kind of enhance the flavor. And salt and acidity does most of that for you.
Absolutely. So real quick to cap things off, let's do one more. Let's talk about drink pairings. What's a good wine? What's a good beer that goes good with trout?
You know, I would say, I mean, for me, you know, if it's a preference, I think an IPA for a beer goes really well, although, because I think the kind of the hoppiness and something like that does go very well. But again, for me, I guess, because I'm not a sommelier or anything, but obviously, you know, growing up in kitchens and working with a lot of sommeliers, I have a little bit of a background, and always interesting to learn from them, of course. Either that or really just your favorite, maybe like a lighter beer. I would probably stay away from a stout, a porter, things like that. But I'd say either like an ale, a lager perhaps. In regards to wine, I would say probably it's tough to beat a Chardonnay. The buttery aspect of most Chardonnay, whether it be oaked or un-oaked, would probably be the person's preference. But also too, maybe going into spring and summer, maybe even like a Sauvignon Blanc, something even maybe a little bit lighter and crispier might work a little bit better with that. It could depend on what you're pairing it with. You know, are you eating inside or outside? Sometimes that ambiance even makes a difference into what you're going to be pairing with for a beverage as well.
Absolutely. Well, again, I appreciate you taking the time to be with me today. And if folks would like to learn more about experiences at the Greenbrier, they can head over online and find it. Do you know the website off the top of your head?
It'd just be www.greenbrier.com. And you can search for dining, search for our, we'll be doing some trout this summer on some of our farm-to-table events. This summer we have some different themes for all the events, so those are actually all listed on the website right now. People can start making reservations for those, so we're pretty excited about the way that has evolved into utilizing our garden, as well as some of the purveyors, and now adding some different themes to these events to kind of change it up a little bit, because we were staying very Appalachian the last 3 years, so this year's going to be a little bit different for us, and we're pretty excited about it.
All right. Well, sounds fantastic. Again, thank you so much for taking the time to be on today, and hopefully we'll get to talk again soon.
Absolutely, Cam. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
That is going to wrap things up for today's show. I also want to give a huge thanks again for Jim and Lee joining me early on in the show today as well. Remember, the Gold Rush coming up the 1st through the 12th in West Virginia. You can get all the details at wvdnr.gov. And, of course, don't forget you want to purchase your fishing license, your trout stamp. You can get them on there as well. Make sure that you keep things kosher and legal as we head out to cast this season. Hey, don't forget, you can also be part of the show. Drop us a line, wjypam.com, with your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your fishtails, if you will. And if you missed any of today's show, don't forget that you can get the full thing online as well. Again, WJYPAM.com. You can also download the Jock mobile app. Find it in your favorite app store. Thanks again for listening. Be sure to join us next week for another episode of Hook, Line, and Sinker. Stay safe, and I'll catch you later.
This has been Hook, Line, and Sinker with Cam Connors on The Jock.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle.
Or forget extra diapers. And never give in to a meltdown.
You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never let them have too much screen time. And never bribe them for just one more bite. You say you'd never let them out in public without their hair brushed. Never, ever become a minivan mom. And you'd never give them your phone for a quiet dinner.
Calling boss work phone.
So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, no, it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What percentage of people who take drugs